Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation.
Each week, for more information Marvin about G. Our classes,
welcome to UCLA and Monday teachers, Meditation.
Please visit 30minuteguidedhealth.org,
offering a variety of free UCLA practices. If you're new to meditation, these sessions are designed to try to offer a clear introduction to how to do mindfulness meditation. And many experienced people find that just a reminder of the basics, how simple it is, can be really useful from time to time. What we do, most forms of meditation begin this way, not all, but most begin focusing our attention on something happening in our experience. And it is an activity of focusing attention, but not in the normal way that we do throughout our normal days, where our attention is being drawn all the time to one thing or another. And sometimes we have to summon focus to read something or write something or talk to someone. It's not an unusual function, to say the least. It's part of almost everything we do, but it is unusual how we use attention when we meditate, because we ask ourselves to focus on something happening that's not terribly interesting, that wouldn't normally be drawing our attention. And so we use sounds, but not trying to hear something or get something done, just noticing what we can hear. We use sensations in our bodies, like the feel of the breath. And the main criterion for what we're focusing on is that it's relatively neutral, meaning not really painful or terribly pleasant. In practice, that means not painful. And remarkable things can happen when we take the time to do this. Believe me, I don't assume you should believe me just because I say that. It's quite an interesting fact, a radical fact. Nonetheless, it really can work to both develop the conditions for more tranquility, more peace and clarity. And it also can become just interesting what happens. So what we'll do is I'll begin by inviting you to take a few deeper breaths just to get going. We'll turn attention to sounds, to our bodies and so forth. And then in this process, if you're new, you may be surprised by a couple of things. One is that, oh, it's doable. I actually can focus my attention, stay with the breath a little bit. The other thing is you may find that 10 minutes goes by then. After you've done three breaths, you congratulate yourself. You're like, okay, I can do this. And then 10 minutes go by, during which time you've thought about almost everything in your life. It's extremely interesting how our minds work. And of course, what's happening for each of us is conditioned by the state of our bodies and past experiences and so forth. When we notice the attention has drifted, we don't need to make a speech like the one I just made. We just notice, maybe a quiet recognition, thinking, planning. Often it'll be thoughts that draw our attention, sometimes with emotion. Whether thoughts or emotions, we just have that permission to recognize what's happening. We don't have to stop it or push it away and then gently bring the attention back. Comment in the chat, snoozing. Snoozing can be an issue. It can be a problem at times, where it feels like we're quite awake. It's a good time to meditate. And then as soon as we start, we get kind of drowsy. Here, if there's not a real reason why you should be tired, especially tired, that's a good opportunity just to ratchet up the effort a little bit and, just try a little bit harder just to stay with the beginning of the in-breath, something like that. Or you can, maybe your posture is just a little bit too comfortable. So we can meditate in any posture, but if you find that you snooze often, maybe kind of just not lean back on the chair or the sofa, just have a little bit more rigid posture can help energize a little bit. So let's go ahead and start. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Maybe even a little sigh with the out breath. And letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the normal breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. So this idea of focusing attention is, in this case, with sounds, just being receptive to whatever comes into consciousness in this part of our experience, what we can hear. And it's not a huge job. We don't have to try to hear everything. We don't have to remember. Just moment after moment, making the effort to keep the attention stable, relatively stable with what's happening in this part of our experience, what we can hear. It's also good to practice with sensations in our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body. Initially, just taking stock, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, just not kind of bringing a focus in where we're looking for something unusual, just allowing the attention to notice what there is, vibration, pressure, softness, so forth. So you feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice, aha, there are some sensations connected with the breath. Just the normal breath now, not the way we began, just letting the breath do its thing. There are some sensations typically that we can feel in the abdomen and the chest, slight rising, tensing as the in-breath begins, falling, softening, dissolving as the out-breath begins. So sometimes subtle, sometimes quite obvious. Also, sensations at the opening of the nose. Or the upper lip, sensations as the air comes in, as the air comes out. So, this exercise of paying attention to something relatively neutral, the breath often is very good for this. And so, if it feels fine, then just letting your attention rest in one of those places, the abdomen, chest, or nose, just knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins is good enough. We don't have to try to dig in and find some microstructure, but we do make effort. We kind of summon that effort just to keep the attention stable, relatively stable. If the breath doesn't feel quite right, we can focus somewhere else. Hands, sensations in our hands or feet or coming back to sounds. But don't try to get it perfect, right? So over time we learn what is best for us, and we don't have to kind of keep adjusting. And then, for all of us, there'll be those moments when we notice the attention has drifted. Our minds can be so active and fast. And so at some point, we'll recognize that we're daydreaming or planning or worried or whatever, our thoughts, emotions, some combination. So in mindfulness meditation, There is the invitation just to include, to be aware. Okay, thinking, planning, worrying. Often with emotions, there are sensations in our bodies, often the torso, that are a component of the emotions, very often overlooked. These can be great to include. So if we notice anxiety or sorrow, or joy, we can just like tune in. Oh, yeah. Don't try to, overdo it. Just notice if it's kind of obvious. And then bring the attention back. Next in breath, for instance, as it begins. And that's the core of how we practice mindfulness. It does take effort, but it's mostly patience, a willingness to try and stay with it. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. Yeah, so thank you. It's good to practice with you. These basics are radical in many ways, partly because of the simplicity, partly because of the ways in which they certainly can work. I guess one reasonable question, if you're new to this, is, how do I know if I'm doing it right? And my answer would be, were you able to feel the breath? Were there times where you knew the breath was happening? Knew there were some sensations, the breath was, you noticed the beginning of the in-breath, or if you were focusing somewhere else, were you aware of sensations, and so forth? When people like me, as teachers or practitioners talk about tranquility and so forth, it can be mysterious, like, okay, how do I know? Right? If it's very kind of interesting, it's not going to be like a police siren going by, or a heavy metal band starting up, at top volume. It's more likely going to be you're trying the meditation again, and then time goes by and it seems like it's boring, but you're kind of aware. And then at some point it dawns on you, oh, this is tranquility, right? And it can take some getting used to, right? Because our orientation, quite rationally in daily life, is, looking for stimulation, looking for pleasure, looking for excitement, solving problems, and so forth. And so there really is a part of meditation practice which involves just getting used to what it is, to that, that's, and it's not all or nothing, and so forth. And so, and especially when we're starting to a practice, there may be just in a session 20 some minutes, maybe there were 14 seconds total where there was kind of a sense of that, and the rest of the time was the mind racing and trying to figure out if you really are in the wrong place here and all sorts of whatever, right? And it's such a personal activity. It's what could be more personal in a way. And we obviously can learn from other people. I have certainly learned from people and benefited a lot. But there comes a point where we're not learning from other people in doing this, right? Others can help us kind of get in the territory, can help us with practical tips and so forth. But the actual doing it and exploring it is personal. And so it remains for me, it remains interesting. It remains very interesting, this sort of process. In terms of a daily practice, of course, it's something I would encourage you to if you find it at all promising, even if there weren't, 14 seconds or whatever of kind of like, oh, maybe this is peace, but it still seems promising, or it seems like, no, it doesn't seem promising, but I don't have any other ideas how to proceed with my life other than to kind of start paying attention to it. It's like practicing can be good and you can do it on your own. And you wouldn't necessarily have to do 20 some minutes like we do here. It can be 5 minutes or less. And don't even time it, just sit for a few minutes and see what happens. But do it consistently, make a habit of it insofar as you are kind of like, yeah, I think this could be good for me. And we don't have to have perfect conditions, but it is good if it's relatively quiet, right? So that our attention isn't always drawn elsewhere. And that can be more complicated for some of us, right? Earplugs can be useful. We don't have to block out everything, right? And of course, if we're using sounds, that can it can be fine. But sometimes there are sounds like, if you have a roommate or housemate or the neighbors, you can, if a TV going can be super, our attention can just be drawn so insistently to the sound of a television. Even if we can't make out what they're saying, we're kind of like, what are they saying? And so you can use common sense, right? We don't have to have perfect quiet, but We can find a place typically, and earplugs can be helpful. In terms of, I mentioned posture at the beginning. If you do find sleepiness is kind of insistent, right? And if it's regularly part of, then just try standing up to maybe a little more energetic posture can be good. But don't, if you doze off now and then, that's perfectly normal. And that idea of ratcheting up the effort is like, okay, let me just see if I can notice the microsecond, the nanosecond when the in-breath begins, right? Normally, we don't need to have that level of precision or effort, but there can be times where it can be interesting just to ratchet up the effort a little bit. And that can sometimes, it's very interesting how it can just cut through drowsiness. And I have practiced this myself a lot. There can be other times where we're really restless. Our minds are just racing one thought after another, and we don't have to find the break. We don't have to slam on, we don't have to try to fix that, but we can notice it's happening. And sometimes it can be good to lessen up the effort a little bit in the mid if we're really restless. It may be that we're trying harder than we need to, and just kind of coming back to sounds, which can be really easeful, right? Or staying attuned to the breath, but not that kind of that in that very precise, when does the breath begin? Just, you know, oh yeah, the breath is happening. I feel these sensations and so forth. So we can learn with our own experience how much effort to make at that subtle level. Is it beneficial to sit in a yoga ball for a yoga ball, like a big round thing? Kind of, it might be that that's too much activity, right? You're kind of bouncing a little bit and you have to stay balanced. My intuition is to say probably not, actually. Just keep the more stable sitting posture of some sort or other. Maybe stand. At times, there's a walking meditation where if we feel like we want a little more activity, just we'll do that at some point on these Mondays. Just standing and walking can be a great posture, right? A great form for exactly what we were doing here, where we use the sensations in the feet as that home base for our attention. I was restless today, rocking back and forth. That's kind of the same similar question to the yoga ball. It's like, yeah, bringing in some movement can be good, and then we can also kind of find ways in which we then let our bodies be still. And of course, we can do this in any posture, for sure, absolutely. And that's important because I'm aware. I don't know in particular cases today, but I am certainly aware that it's not unusual for people to come to these sessions who are confined to a hospital bed, or you know, for whom lying down is really the only reasonable posture. And we certainly can do these exercises. I had a niece recently who had kind of like a congenital heart veins sort of thing that she needed repaired, so to speak. And she's healthy. The things went well. But Uncle Marv, you know, was offering, like, she herself is a medical doctor, so you know, she doesn't necessarily just need Uncle Marv giving advice, but he did. And it was like, I suggested focusing on the hands because she had a lot of pain the couple of days after. And of course, she was well cared for with the medicines and the pain medicines and all that. But still, Uncle Marv, this is time to help. It's just like, look, and as a medical doctor, you may find this useful, even if you don't want to do it. You may have a patient someday from it's like, focus on your hands, right? Just feel the sensations in your hands. And one of my sisters, it was a little group chat, and she's like, why the hands? And I was like, well, we can use the breath, but if you've just had a surgery in this part of your body, the breath may not be the most pleasant place to focus, right? And so I can't remember why I got off on this speech, but maybe it's just to brag about being such a good uncle. And I completely ignored, I'm almost certain. But the point is, we can innovate, right? We can, oh, it was lying down, right? You know, kind of if we are lying down in a, even in a hospital bed, it may be that there was a surgery, or there are just contraptions in a way that kind of make the breath not the best place to focus. But here we can use hands, sounds, feet, and so forth. And the real power is this remarkably simple ability that we have that is at the foundation of everything we do almost, that ability to pay attention to what's happening. And believe it or not, paying attention to something as simple as the breath for a while, the mind not only develops really good states, but it can truly be interesting over time. So thank you. Good to be with you.